Welcome to Fit Chicks Chat, the podcast dedicated to fitness, nutrition, wellness, and mindset. For more information on Fit Chicks Academy and our upcoming Fitness and Nutrition Expert certification, as well as our Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss Coaching certifications, please visit fitchicksacademy.com. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy today's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Fit Chicks Chat. My name's Laura Jackson.
And I'm Amanda Quinn.
And on today's episode, we are doing one of our favorite things, which is busting myths. So this is actually a two-part series that we're doing because we had so many myths that we wanted to talk about. So we decided that let's break it down into two. Also, it seems like you guys love the myths as well, because it's one of our top downloaded episodes is around nutrition and weight loss myths. So
and our fitness
in
myths,
this episode, we're going to talk about four of the nutrition weight loss myths that we hear still to this day. We keep hearing a lot about, and that as a holistic nutrition or weight loss coach, is you're going to have to debunk these myths, right? You're going to have to be able to talk about these things with your clients, because they're going to be saying, well, wait, I heard this. Isn't this true? And unfortunately, we're also kind of looking for that quick fix. You know what I mean? Like that idea that, okay, I'm going to be able to get to my goals. I just have to cut out certain foods. I just have to, you know, do this for 7 days. You know, maybe it is that I just go on Ozempic, whatever the case may be, right? And so we're going to talk about this stuff today.
I think also to add to that, like, I think this conversation is really important, because as a coach, not only you have to navigate these conversations, but you have to be able to, like, you have to be prepared, knowing that when you're doing like your intakes or your like check-ins with your clients, they're probably going to consistently have these questions, or they're going to have these habits that they're already doing. And so you're going to have to try to understand not only like the facts behind it, but then also how to break that habit, because we know that these things are not going to serve them, right? In the big picture of things. So well, breaking down these myths is so important.
Yeah. And I also think it's around deconstructing a lot of belief systems, right? When we've heard things enough times, and the example I always like to use is, in anyone, I'm going to age myself, but you will remember this, the whole idea of fat makes you fat.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Susan Powder. My favorite, everyone has heard it on the podcast. It was my favorite fad diet I've ever done.
Mine was the carb power hour.
Mine was Susan Powder, because she told you, eat all the potatoes you want, you'll never gain weight, because fat is what makes you fat, not carbs. And I was like, you are my hero. Not all heroes wear capes, Susan Powder.
Well, and this was the whole thing too, right? It's like, but think about that statement and how that completely changed a belief system that then had to be, it changed an industry. So that's when suddenly all of the low fat craze happened, all of the low fat sugar salad dressings and foods. And when we take something out, we have to put something in to make it taste good. So we took out all the fat, we pumped everything full of sugar and chemicals, and then an obesity epidemic took over. So it's thinking about it in that way of, these are things too your clients might have taken on as their belief system. So they're like, oh no, this is, you know, the truth about nutrition, or this is the truth about weight loss. So it's really important to be able to have
it
these
lives deep.
These little things in your toolbox, your conversation toolbox. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about the first one.
So I think the first one that I always love to tackle is the idea that carbs are the enemy. Dun, dun, dun. Because, you know, I love carbs. So I wanted to talk about this one, because I feel like so many people think, if I eat carbohydrates, then I'm going to gain weight. If I cut out all carbohydrates, think about like all of the fad diets, the Atkins diet. I know I did it. I did the low carb craze. I did all of the things after eating all the carbs with Susan Powder's fad diet. And these fad diets, like, I obviously did these when I was younger, before I knew any better, right? And this is the thing. It's like, you don't know what you don't know. So you're like following along all these different trends and fad diets. That's why they're called fad diets. They come in like a flash in the pan, and they're like, this is the hot thing. And then you do it and you try it, and you mess up all your hormones and stuff, and then you move on to the next one. And that's kind of what happened. So, but yeah, definitely the first one is the idea that carbohydrates are the enemy and you have to cut them out to lose weight. And the truth is that you do not have to cut out carbohydrates. The key is that you have to eat complex carbohydrates like whole grains, fruits, vegetables. It's like carbohydrates are not the enemy. It's the quality of the certain foods that you're eating that is, quote unquote, the enemy, like the thing that you should be avoiding. It's not carbohydrates per se. And everyone, I think though that the problem, and I know that even for me, this is how I used to think of it. Sorry, allergies are driving me crazy. I used to think of carbohydrates as carbohydrates equals bread. Like always, I never really thought of carbohydrates as like fruits and veggies and things like that. I just thought of fruits and veggies as like, like how you're taught in school, like the food guides, right? Fruits and veggies are their own little world, and they don't count as carbohydrates for whatever reason. We just don't think of them in the same context. But when you reframe the way that you see carbohydrates and what foods are actually fitting into carbohydrates, you're like, oh, I don't have to cut out carbohydrates. I just have to make different choices with my carbohydrates and eat complex ones versus eating ones that are just like these super high processed, zero nutritional value kind of carbohydrates.
Well, yeah, and right now carbs are still on the enemy list, right? We hear this all the time still with the popularity of the keto diet. And even as we're going into with Fit Chicks Academy, we're diving a lot more into perimenopause and menopause coaching. And one of the things that research has shown is that perimenopausal and menopausal women respond better to a lower carbohydrate diet. That being said, as soon as we hear that, like you were saying, we don't think about the quality of the food. We're right away like, oh, if someone's on low
Pizza,
carb,
bread.
yeah, they're cutting out bread, they're cutting out this, they're cutting. It's no, they are the carbs they are eating. Those carbohydrate grams are coming from real whole food sources, higher quality carbohydrates. Carbohydrates that have higher fiber, which is why at Fit Chicks Academy, we always say build your meals around protein, fiber, and fat instead of protein, carbs, and fat. Because so many people, when they think of carbs, they don't realize that they have to be focusing on specific types of carbs. So they'll have, pasta with their chicken, with their vegetables, as opposed to thinking, okay, I'm going to have chicken and I'm going to have maybe it be some more low glycemic vegetables, or I'm going to have brown rice or something that's more on the higher fiber side, the more quality. So when it comes to losing weight, you don't have to cut out carbohydrates, right? But you can't be overeating any macronutrient. You have to be in a caloric deficit. So carbohydrates, the problem with them too, they are, well, I shouldn't say the problem. They are our body's preferred source of energy. So if you are someone who is very sedentary and you are eating a lot of carbohydrates, what usually ends up happening is you're not burning them off for energy, and then you're feeling hungrier because they don't necessarily fill you up. So carbohydrates are best when they're eaten alongside of higher fiber carbohydrates, protein, and fat, because it slows down digestion, it balances blood sugar, and all of those things, right? So we don't want to be eating too much of any of them, but too many carbohydrates doesn't fill us up. If they're void of fiber, if they're void of a lot of nutrition. So again, sugar, white bread, pasta, any of these processed foods that are out there, then that is when usually we end up consuming more of them too, because it's easier to overeat on carbohydrates. So main takeaway, carbs are not the energy enemy, but we do want to focus mainly on higher fiber carbs, low glycemic, pairing them with protein and fat, and not overeating. So looking at your portion sizes.
All right, how about if I go through the myths and then we just keep going? So the next myth is that eating after 8 p.m. causes weight gain. So you hear this so much, especially right now with so many people doing intermittent fasting. That's kind of like one of the big fads, right? Right now is intermittent fasting and people really having like eating windows and things like that. But they think it's because if I eat after 8 p.m., there's a misconception that that's when like that's when I'm going to gain all the weight. When the truth of the matter is that it's not necessarily about, it's not when you eat. It's because weight is determined, like weight gain is determined by the total amount of calories consumed versus expended. It's not the time of day that you eat. It's more important about like how much calories you're actually eating. And that's why intermittent fasting is interesting, because it's limiting the amount of calories because you're eating within a window, as opposed to, it's not, your intermittent fasting window could be 8 p.m. till 12 p.m. or till 12 a.m. if you wanted it to be, but because it's really about limiting the eating windows as opposed to actually just like cutting off evening eating times and things like that.
Well, I
And
think,
especially, I think that this, oh, sorry, I was just going to say also, I think it's really important to know that this, the idea of eating after 8 p.m., not eating after 8 p.m., I think comes down to a lot of people snack late at night. And then that's when they consume a ton of calories. And then they're thinking it's because I'm eating late, but it's no, it's because you're eating excess calories of usually non-traditionally dense foods. So.
Well, and the thing is too, and I'm happy you brought that up about intermittent fasting, even though I personally think intermittent fasting is great, it's also around the idea of that was when the marketers kind of went in and said, okay, don't eat after 7 or 8 p.m., right? And that's where the messaging was like, oh, if I stop eating, when really what they were doing was saying, do an intermittent fast, or just, so your fast would be, let's say, from 7 p.m. till 7 a.m. It's 12 hours you're not eating, 12 hours you are eating. So then again, that kind of like we're talking about the Susan Powder fat makes you fat, it kind of became this like marketing slogan, like don't eat after 7 p.m. If you don't do that, you won't gain weight. But like Amanda said, it's foods don't magically turn to fat after a certain time. It's not like a pumpkin with Cinderella. You know what I mean? Like there's not something this hour that it's like, okay, anything between this window will automatically turn to fat. It also is, though, is because not only that typically you snack more at nighttime, but also you usually are about to go to bed. Most people, they're not going to work or working out after 8 o'clock. So you're not as efficiently and effectively using the calories that you have consumed because you're probably just going to go into a restful state, which is the most, sedentary you're going to be the entire day because you're laying down and you're sleeping. So I always like to think of food like it's energy, right? Like it's fuel for your tank. The days that you're going to be more active are the days you're going to need more energy. The days that you're not as active, or the times of the day that you're not as active, are the times that you're not going to need as much energy. So when we're leading into bedtime, and again, as a habit and a way to do it, that's why I love having like a flex fast, is kind of picking a time that is your non-eating window and your eating window. So if you're going to not eat, let's say, between 8 a.m., 8 p.m. and 8 a.m., then that's your eating window. You know what I mean? Like it just gives you a time that, because you're not as active during those hours, also giving your digestion a break. And in addition to it too, it's not just about eating less calories. Like yes, intermittent fasting helps with that, but it also really helps to balance hormones, because allowing your body time for your insulin levels to go down, allowing your blood sugar to be go down, it's good for your overall health and keeping you insulin sensitive. So that's one of the reasons why eating after 8 p.m. can have some issues. But again, if you are out on the weekends, you're at a party and you eat something at 10 o'clock at night, it's not going to be the make or break.
It's not the pumpkin.
It's not the pumpkin.
Okay, next myth. All calories are created equal. So it doesn't matter what you eat as long as you stay within your calorie limit. I've heard this so many times, and so many questions come up as a coach, right? Where people would ask me, like, well, I see all of these, if it fits your macros kind of thing online, and this whole concept of like, well, as long as it fits in my macros, meaning the macronutrients, meaning like how many carbs, proteins, and fats I can eat in the day, as long as it fits within that, it doesn't matter. I could eat 10 donuts if it fits in my macros. Or I remember there was someone on social media that I used to pop up in my feed a lot, and they would just eat like the craziest concoctions of like, it was like a donut dipped in cereal, dipped in ice cream, dipped in and it was this, all this stuff, and it was like, if it fits my macros, and then they would just be eating it, and they were like, then at the gym right afterwards and doing stuff on their social media
But were
account.
they
But I
also
remember
super
thinking,
ripped?
they were.
Well, that's
They
just it.
were.
Because when you have more muscle and your body can burn more calories and you are going to the gym and burning more calories, right? You can utilize those carbohydrates more effectively than if you are trying to reach a weight loss goal and eating those foods.
Totally. No, and that's just the, but that's the thing is like, I think it creates this false belief though, that as long as it fits within my macros or as long as it fits within my calories, if I'm doing any kind of calorie counting or tracking or anything, or even if you just think like, well, the other concept, and I know it's not necessarily the same thing about the myth, but the whole thing of like, oh, I've been good all day. So then therefore I'm going to eat this thing and it's not going to cancel out the rest, right? It's this concept that we've built into our brain thinking like everything is equal or the same.
Well, also, I think it's because it is part of energy balance, right? So, science, energy balance, it's proven that, in order for us to be able to lose weight, that we have to be in a caloric deficit. We have to be taking in less calories than our body needs to maintain its current weight. So, it can tap into the stored fat and break that down for energy. So that is one piece of the puzzle, but this is actually one of the premises why we created the whole Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss Coach certification, right? Because it's only one piece of it. If I only eat 500 calories of Doritos, right? And I eat 500 calories of chicken, so both 500 calories, I will lose weight. Or sorry, let me use a better example. I eat 500 calories of Doritos, but I eat 500 calories of chicken, a salad with olive oil dressing. Okay. Both are 500 calories. Both are going to cause a weight loss. However, as soon as those foods enter into our body, they have completely different reactions,
And
right?
missions.
So on outside of the body, they're like 500, 500, completely comparable. If we were just going to look at energy balance, calories in versus calories out, both of them will get us to the same result, right? But if we look at overall health and long-term sustainable weight loss, and something that, again, you're not going to have a bounce back from, the quality of those foods are going to be different because the Doritos alone have no fiber, have no protein. Yes, they have fat, but it's usually a processed, a bad fat. And then they are high in carbohydrates. So you eat that, immediately starts digesting, carbohydrates start digesting in the mouth, immediately starts digesting. Your blood sugar, it sends the message that, hey, we've got carbohydrates in here. Insulin's released, blood sugar spikes to pull that down. And you're probably going to be starving again really, really quickly. Also, there's no nutrition in there. There's no vitamins or minerals. There's nothing in there to help support the body, to support muscle mass. We need protein, right? To support hormones, we need fats. So there's so many things that 500 calories, yes, you will start to see your body losing weight, but you also will be probably losing more fat-free mass, like lean body mass, as opposed to just fat mass, and it will set you up for failure in the long term. Meanwhile, if you were eating, and 500 calories, we're just saying this as like to keep things simple. We're not only eating 500 calories a day.
No, it's our easy math.
But 500 calories of chicken, salad, and olive oil, well, now we've got a low glycemic meal. So number one, we're not going to have a blood sugar spike right away. Number two, we've got protein, fiber, and healthy fats. So we're helping to support muscle mass and we're also supporting our hormones and we're getting fiber in there to support digestion and slowing down how quick our stomach empties. In addition to that, that's something that again is going to help us keep from having cravings later on and being fuller longer in between meals. So there's so many differences. And that's why, I hear so many people come and say, oh, I tried this diet, for example, like the Bernstein diet. Let's just talk about all the diets today. We talked about IIFYM, we talked about Susan Powder, we've talked about keto, we've talked about intermittent fasting. But let's say they tried the Bernstein diet. So the Bernstein diet was a diet, and I don't even know if it still exists, but
It
Basically,
does.
you would eat like 900 calories a day. You would get B12 shots at a clinic. And of course, you would lose weight. And the bounce back rate is insane. Like 93% of people gain back the weight and more because the calories are so low. Our body eventually adapts to that. It's not sustainable. And also, the calories that you eat while you're on it are from things like Jell-O and pudding and things again that are just calories, but they're not nutritional calories. So this is like, I've heard from so many people saying, oh, I did the Bernstein and I lost a ton of weight. And then they gain it back. They go, I got to go back and do Bernstein again because that's the only way to lose weight. And I'm like, do you want to be on this constant diet roller coaster where you have to keep being on and off a diet in order to keep it? When you focus on looking at the quality of the calories, right? All calories are not created equal, but we look at all the things that we talk about being a caloric deficit, but doing it in a way that you're getting that nutrition in, you're getting the right macronutrients, you're doing it in a way that you're not having cravings and that you can actually do for the rest of your life. That is the actual goal, right? So it's like, to me, that's where I think that there's so much in the diet industry. This is what we like to do, though, right? We like to pick out one thing and just focus on that because it makes marketing easy for these companies, as opposed to looking at, well, this is just one piece of the puzzle, and these are the other pieces we also have to focus on. Instead, it's just like, eat this fiber one bar. It's got fiber. It's 90 calories. Eat this 200 calorie pack. Doesn't matter that there's nothing in there that's nutritionally dense, but it's only 200 calories, right? Like, we've got to shift that mentality. The calories, it's like putting gas in your tank of your car. Let's say you have a Tesla. Well, Tesla's an electric car, but let's say exactly, instead of charging it, you're pouring in honey to try to get your Tesla to drive. That's what we're doing to our bodies. We're pouring in crap and expecting us to get to the results that we want, as opposed to thinking about our food as the quality of the calories, the fuel in our body is going to determine our production, our moods, our body shape, our the way we age, preventative health, like all of those things. Just doesn't sound as sexy.
Oh, so good, so good. I feel like that was like almost like a mic drop moment. That was so great. It was such
That
a
was a
good
rant.
explanation
That was a
because it really
rant.
does. No, but it was so good because I think it really does just breaks it down. It makes it really simple to understand. And the analogy of the gas tank just makes so much sense. So yeah, so that's definitely the answer to that all calories are not created equal. Now, the next myth that we wanted to tackle, the final myth for this part one of the series, is that weight loss plateaus mean that you're doing something wrong or that you need to eat less. This one is a big one for me too, because I feel like so many people internalize when they've hit a plateau, when they are not reaching their goals. They think it's me, and then they start punishing themselves. They are like, I've got to work out longer, I've got to eat less, I have to cut out all the carbohydrates, I've got to do all of the things because my body is plateauing, and like the only way to do it is to go even more extreme and more extreme. And then it just becomes this extreme obsession. And I mean, I saw this like in my own life. And then I've also seen that with so many clients over the years, right? Like students that were in my classes that would just tell me the stuff that they were doing. And I was like, holy smokes, we need to break this down because this is not beneficial for you. This is not something that is going to, in the end, support you. Because the fact of the matter is, weight loss plateaus are a natural part of the journey. It's something that happens to every single person. Your body adapts, your body gets used to like the activity level, it gets used to, you know, the food that you're eating, it gets used to just everything about what it is that you're doing, because it's like, oh, okay, this is my new normal, like this is the new thing that I'm doing now, this is who I am now, and that's great. But you don't have to go to extremes to be able to get to the next step. You just have to stay consistent and keep going and stay consistent over and over and over again, because your body will eventually just continue to shift. It's just going to be slower. It's just going to be a slower process, because once you hit a certain point, your body then becomes like, it's almost like this is the set point.
Completely. And I also think, when we're talking to our clients, number one, I think that needs to be a part of the conversation up front. So in the Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss Coach certification, when one of the modules we talk about is calculating macros and then creating a program, a periodized program for your clients around it. So they're not always in a caloric deficit, right? Like, and this helps to avoid the plateaus because our bodies are so adaptable. And if we keep doing the same thing over and over again, our body goes, okay, cool. This is our new norm. This is what we do. So we've got to shake it up a little bit. So the idea of even, periodizing macros or calories, you would, follow something for 8 weeks, then you take a break and go back to your maintenance macros and calories for 2 weeks. So you're increasing your caloric intake, where people are like, wait a second, I thought I was on a weight loss plan. Why am I increasing? Because your body, a lot of people after that 2 weeks, if you're tracking, they come back and then suddenly they're not plateauing anymore and they're seeing results again. So it's giving our body this kind of like, hey, what's going on? It's the same thing with HIIT training, right? One of the reasons why HIIT training is so effective to help to burn fat and push through plateaus is because you do it for a short period of time, but you get yourself to this uncomfortable state you probably haven't been to before. You're 9 out of 10. And as you get stronger, that 9 out of 10 is higher and higher, but you're still pushing to that max, right? So, like, I even know for me, I started adding in short, high intensity intervals again, like 4 to 8 minutes. But hard, and like my body changes so fast because I was in a place where I was doing a 30-minute Peloton. Now I'm like, okay, that was a while. Let's shake it up for my cardio days. I'm gonna do 4 minutes, but I'm gonna go like ballistic during it, right? I'm gonna go all out during my intervals. And it's just crazy because my body was like, wait a second, we haven't done those in a while. Same thing with weight training, pushing yourself to heavier weights. If you lift the same weights all the time, yeah, you're activating your muscles, you're getting a good workout, but you're not telling them to do anything different. So, weight loss plateaus, they're completely normal, but also knowing we have to shake it up a bit at times. So, that could mean that, again, we're manipulating maybe the amount of calories, we're changing up the activity. And I like to think of it not as manipulation. I shouldn't say that word. I like to think about it more of just like, I'm giving my body like a curveball. Like, it's our curveball week. And this week, we're going to not work out. Or this week, we are going to up our workouts. Or this week, we're going to change our caloric intake, right? Or this week, we're in a carb cycle. Like, there are so many different ways that you can do it. But it is the idea of having some sort of like a differentiate. I don't know for you. I remember having a client once who was like, I went on vacation and I came back and I lost weight. Like, what happened? And she came back and went back to her consistent habits afterwards. But sometimes it's just that you're doing different things, right? Your body's like tapping into
No,
different stuff.
totally. I have a friend too who they were so strict and so diligent about their diet and everything else and training all the time. And when they started just adding in higher calories, that's when their body completely shifted. So rather than eating a really low calorie and like eating in a really big deficit, they actually started increasing it, not for the entire time, but for a period of time. And they started adding in like high calorie foods in between, still healthy foods, but just like higher calorie foods. And then that's when they noticed like a massive, massive difference in their composition.
Well, and that's where, even again, one of our students, and I've said this story before, she was eating the same amount of calories, but just shifted the grams of protein. She was not eating enough of her calories from protein, and that alone just changed everything for her. So it's like, it's interesting, but this is why working with a coach is so important. But part of the coaching conversation I like to say is right up front, when you're starting a plan, there's going to be plateaus. I think setting expectations is one of the most important things, right? And having that conversation, because your clients will feel like something is wrong if they are plateauing.
Yeah,
And
and they'll take it
if
personal
they'll take it
most of the time.
personally, they'll think the
Or
program's not
they'll think,
working anymore.
totally.
Yeah. So it's always something that we're gonna have to navigate through. And there's so many different reasons why it happens. And I also think for women too, it is a little bit more challenging because again, our hormones fluctuate throughout the month if we're cycling, and then our hormones are fluctuating if we are menopausal too, right? They're constantly decreasing over the years. So we kind of have a little bit of a different thing when it comes to feeling like, I have a friend of both of ours who she weighs herself every morning. And no matter how hard I try, she's like, no, but Laura, I gained 2 pounds less, like since yesterday. I'm like, well, you can't actually gain 2 pounds since yesterday, but the scale says it, right? So it's managing, having that educational conversation and managing those expectations because our bodies are different. And we will also, as women, retain water more, just different times of the month, things are different. Sometimes we're not feeling as energetic because of that. And then again, because our hormones change as we age, then that also makes a difference. So don't let any of it feel like you're doing wrong. Just get curious whether you're doing this for yourself or with a client. Be like, okay, why are we plateauing and what can we add into the mix for a curveball to shake things up without cutting down calories, without cutting things lower and lower and lower? Because we don't have to, eventually we'll run out of calories to cut. You know what I mean? And that's not the goal. The goal
True.
is to get to a place where we can maintain at the highest amount of calories.
Definitely.
Okay, everybody. So those were our four myths for today. So hopefully these were helpful. I know that I love myth busting and I love having these conversations because I think that nutrition can feel so overwhelming for so many people, especially when they're on a weight loss journey and they're being inundated by all these different things about, what they should be doing, what's quote unquote right, what's quote unquote wrong. So just taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture, also, of course, to me, educate yourself. That's like one of the biggest things. The more you feel empowered through knowledge, the more that you will fall, well, the less you will fall victim to all of these ideas and the fad diets and all of the stuff. I know for me, that's what has worked in keeping 50 pounds off for the last however many years, is that I know what actually works and I stick to that. So if you want to learn more, we have our next Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss Coach certification starting soon. And we are hosting Coach Day coming up on May the 4th. So we'll be including information about around that as well. But if you want to check out more information about our certification, fitchicksacademy.com/HWLC. And I cannot wait to talk next week because we're going to go into part two. We got some more myths to bust.
Or part two, four more myths to break down for you. So make sure you check it out and
Love it.
subscribe. All
Yes. Okay, everybody, we'll
right.
talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out.